Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 16th of May, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Martin Higginson, Chief Executive Officer of Immotion. That's IMMO. And Martin discusses their progress in the world of immersive edutainment. Plus, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Thomas Cook Group. Results out today, highly publicized results, actually. GVC Holdings and Burberry. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And the top five most liked RNSs, too. You can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. And there's a lot of other stuff there as well. Zach Ticking Stock, what's he looking at? Eve Sleep, Block Energy, New Formix, U Group, Lid, whatever Lid is. There's an article on Block Energy as well. Big fundraise there, raising about half their actual valuation, £12 million. Sea Machines article there. There's SP Angel Morning View about rare earths. Stock surge as China acts to ban Myanmar products. What else is there? Lots of others. There was a question and answer session with David Bramhill from Union Jack Oil. So check it out. And that's voxmarkets.co.uk. And like I said, do you know what? If you use the Vox Markets app, and let's be honest, it's free, but it provides you some value, please give us a decent rating and review at one of the app stores. Thank you very much.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Martin Higginson, Chief Executive Officer of Immotion. That's IMMO, ticker there. Martin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And do you know what? I've had several people contact me about your company, and you are on my watch list because I'm into tech. I do like VR. I understand it's becoming a big area, and I've done well with a previous VR company. So it's nice to get you on because I'm an active investor myself, and so it's always nice to learn the story from the CEO, from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So Martin, for people not familiar with Immotion, can you summarise what the company's about, please?
Yeah, by all means. I mean, look, we're in a very exciting area. We think, VR has got some big players in it, people like Facebook and Microsoft and Apple. All of these big players are participating in the virtual reality sort of market. And what we managed to carve out is something that I think is unique to what we do at Immotion. We basically create amazing experiences. Very quickly we've established ourselves as probably the world leader in establishing quality experiences, and have already won a number of awards for our VR experiences. And what we do is we put those onto motion pods. We feel that motion is really, really important in terms of delivering a truly immersive experience. And then we put those pods into large leisure destinations. And what we've done over the last sort of year since we listed is we've honed our sort of strategy. We've honed where we put these pods. We're now much more focused on putting these into large leisure destinations where we rely on the leisure sort of operator sort of creating the footfall and creating the customers. And then we provide a valuable source of ancillary revenue. And a good example of that is sort of aquariums, zoos, and large sort of family entertainment centers. And what we're starting to see now is much greater sort of revenue per headset than we originally anticipated. And that's really driving us off to sort of focus on delivering more into sort of quality destinations, driving the cost down of the equipment and improving quality. And I think we're now starting to see the benefits of that as we sort of, you know, we're sort of into sort of 2019, and we're starting to see more and more customers wanting our pods, wanting our experiences. And I think the main thing for me is, you know, we are a sort of tipping point business. So as soon as we hit a critical number of headsets, then everything else flows to the bottom line. So, you know, very exciting sector. I think we've got a very exciting proposition. Some of the stuff that we're doing is really edutainment. Our Swimming with Humpbacks has gone down amazingly well. We're just about to launch a sort of Swimming with Sharks in a couple of months. And already we're seeing record sales from these experiences.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm on your website and I'm looking at your pods, and they look sort of welcoming, because they're shaped almost, to give it sort of a picture view of it, they're shaped a bit like an egg, but cuts halfway through so you can sit inside them. And I suppose it's that sort of egg shape that's quite welcoming. So you create these pods yourself? Do you build these?
Yeah, I mean, we build them in partnership with sort of hardware manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is we've sourced those in China. We've managed to, you know, drive the cost down. What is absolutely paramount is that the cost per unit is reduced. We've also added, and you'll see this in the next few weeks, we've added a lot more theatre around the pods. So now you're much more aware of what's going on. We introduced that. We tested that in Odyssey Aquarium in Arizona, and we saw a real increase in revenue, sort of about a 50% increase by just adding more theatre and more sort of dressing around the pods. So we're now rolling that out into the other pods. I think it's all about sort of just little tweaks.
When you say theatre, do you mean the setting around the pods? Is that what you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah, so basically what we've done is so if you're in an aquarium, you'll sit in the pods, but you'll also sort of sit in an encasement that has got plenty of advertising around sort of swimming with sharks and swimming with whales. We've now put video screens around the pods so you can see exactly what they are, and they entice more and more people in. And as I said, just by doing that and focusing on more sort of marketing of the actual product itself, we managed to increase revenues in that particular site by 50% compared to its peers.
Yeah. So how? Explain. You did mention there. So you create these pods, and obviously you shoulder the capital cost, and then you put these pods in entertainment areas. And how does that work then? Do they rent them off you, or is it revenue split? How does that work?
No, we do a revenue share, normally 50-50. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is, if you're an aquatic centre, you would call us, or we would call you. We would come. We would put a pod in. You will pay for the installation, personal marketing material and training. So you'll pay about £1,000 a headset for that. That's just deducted as a first deductible from the revenue share. And then what we do is we split everything 50-50. But to give you an example, an average aquarium can probably generate somewhere in the region of about £150,000 a year, delivering about 70,000 pounds of additional incremental revenue to that aquatic centre. So these are, it's a significant sort of movement in their bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. And so tell us some of the places now you're actually in, and how many of these do you have out there?
Well, we've got quite a number of out there. We're sort of, you know, well over 150 headsets out in the market at the moment. We're adding new headsets every single week. At the moment, we're just literally trying to keep up, trying to sort the logistics out to keep up with demand. We are in a lot of sort of aquatic centres, so we've got a close relationship with Merlin. So we're in the Lego Discovery Centres with a Lego sort of a roller coaster ride. We're in the Sea Life Centres, and we started off in Oberhausen in Germany. We're installing next week two into Australia, one in Melbourne and one in Sydney, and then we'll continue that rollout on the back of that success. We're in Odyssey Aquarium in Arizona, and we've got a whole number of aquariums in the US that are now making contact with us. And then on top of that, we're in a number of sort of, as I said before, sort of high footfall leisure destinations, what I call family entertainment centres, and we're seeing, you know, good results from those. So it really is sort of three areas of focus. One is family entertainment centres, leisure centres. The other is the sort of aquariums and zoos, yeah. And then the other is sort of, you know, real destination locations. Yeah. So they could be Lego Discovery Centres, they could be Madame Tussauds or Science Centres, things like that. But really where they've got high footfall, high quality footfall, and we just provide really, really valuable ancillary revenue to these partners.
Yeah, absolutely. So and let me get this right. You mentioned headsets there. So in some places, are they just headsets or are they just pods as well? Or what's the score?
No. They're always, I mean, we sort of say headsets or seats or stations. I mean, basically, everything that we do, you know, it's got to have motion with it. Okay. We are very much focused on our cinematic pods. We see that as it's the one area where we've managed to drive the price down to a very low, you know, realistic level without adding more theatre. And we think focusing in on that area just delivers sort of, A, greater returns for the company and greater returns for our partners.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine, like you say, the, if it's an excellent experience, then there won't be lack of demand here. It seems like it's going to, of course, people go to these places to have these kind of experiences. So from a business point of view, I mean, like you say, you're driving the cost down. At what point will that cost, you know, will you be making money on this? Because I imagine there's a bit of, a lot of capital expenditure up front, isn't it, to create one of these pods? And then how long will it take to sort of break even or make money on these?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reasonable level of sort of capital expenditure, but you know, as I said, in driving the cost down, you know, we now get payback in sort of, you know, well under a year, okay. And in many cases, you know, well under 6 months. All of these deals are 3-year deals, so the return on cash is actually, you know, incredibly good. Yeah. So you know, we're sort of quite relaxed about that. We believe in the annuity model. And we believe that in, as we get these pods in, it is then all about sort of refreshing the experiences. So what we've now done is, you know, you can imagine the scenario where you've got this into lots of aquatic centres, zoos, science centres. And what you're then doing is you're just refreshing the content into these centres. And ultimately, it's all going to be about content. You know, I often sort of say this is a bit like sort of, you know, the shaving business, the razor blade business, where, you know, you've got to get the hardware in there, but then you make all the money on the blades. And it's exactly the same model. You know, this is about us just keep refreshing that content, keep driving more quality content into our partners. And for them, it is just about getting, you know, valuable ancillary revenue. The better they do, the better we do.
And do you create this content yourself? How does that work?
Yeah, no, we create all the content ourselves. So, I mean, as I touched on before, we've just come back from filming sharks just off the Bahamas, which was quite interesting. We had a whole host of and a range of sharks, from tiger sharks to hammerhead sharks, and we filmed all of that in an amazing sort of, you know, virtual reality. We did a film just off Tonga where we sent a free diver down holding his breath four minutes plus to film sort of humpback whales. So we're actually delivering something that A, you're never going to be able to see in the natural world, but because it's in virtual reality, because you can look around and look behind you and up and down, you know, it is truly immersive. So we're actually delivering something that you know, A, people will love to see, B, it gets you up close and personal to these amazing creatures, and C, you know, it's driving, as I said, that, you know, valuable ancillary revenue for partners.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, from a business point of view, that kind of content there, how often does it have to be refreshed? Is it quite expensive to generate that, or is it reasonable?
It's reasonable. I mean, we know what we're doing. We've got two studios. We acquired a Los Angeles Hollywood based live action studio that is filming a lot of the sort of aquatic stuff and wildlife stuff in live action. And then we have a CGI studio based up in Manchester, again another award winning studio that's producing a lot of the sort of the roller coaster rides and the thrill rides that we're putting into the family entertainment centres. So in terms of how often do we produce this, obviously you don't go to a zoo or aquatic centre every week, so you know we don't have to refresh them sort of that often. But what we want to do is keep them you know, refreshed, keep them up to date. You know, it's a very hot topic, is this whole entertainment. A very hot topic is the sort of the natural planet. You know, it's the most watched series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is we're extending into that you know, and also on the roller coasters. What we can do with virtual reality is we can provide you with a very safe but extreme environment that will actually trick your mind that you're riding the most extreme roller coaster you've ever been on. You know, or we can put four people all on 4 meters by 2 meters space. So very small space, plenty of people, plenty of throughput, and therefore, you know, as I said, the returns for partners, returns for us are fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there, I mean, is this a competitive field? Are you one of the only people doing this, Martin?
It's highly complicated. What we've done is we've brought together a number of disciplines that have been challenging to bring together. So you know every landscape, every business is competitive. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a significant head start. What we're delivering at the moment is truly unique. The mixture of quality content, along with motion platforms, along with our sort of partnership model, is unique. And I think we're really, you know, I like to do things differently. We like to create things that haven't been done before. I think what we've done is managed to carve ourselves out a very sort of valuable and potentially lucrative vein in this exciting market.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the ambition then, Martin?
So the ambition is to keep growing. You know, we've invested heavily. I'm the largest shareholder in this business, so you know we're totally committed to this. It's not only about putting cash in; it's about putting time, effort, and energy into growing a business. You know, what drives me is to create something that didn't exist yesterday. I think we've started to do that. I think we're creating a brand new business model in an exciting area. So you know, I think the aim really is to keep doing more of the same, to get into profitability as quickly as possible, and really to start delivering maximum shareholder value.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Well, it sounds exciting, and like I said, you sound like you're growing there, and there's a lot of excitement about it around this, and I definitely would like to have a try. It's one of those things you look at and you think, as long as you straight away I see that pod, I wouldn't mind trying that. And so, you know, that's half the deal, I suppose. So, Mod, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're doing, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, if you could, give them 3 quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, look, I think the 3 important reasons that, for me is, you know, we're in a tremendously exciting area. Virtual reality, you know, it's not a fad. It is definitely to stay. You know, the whole immersiveness of what we're doing is fantastic. I think, secondly, delivering valuable ancillary revenue to high footfall leisure destinations, zoos, aquariums, science centres, family entertainment centres, is a real tick in the box, and we're pushing it an open door with all these partners. And I think thirdly, you know, it is that annuity revenue. It is the fact that we're building a business that isn't just about selling something and then having to do the same again tomorrow. This is about building something that's got solid annuity revenues, and providing that we keep delivering the experiences and the quality content, which that is our sort of stock in trade, then, you know, we'll have a business that not only is, you know, fit for today, but it'll be fit for tomorrow and beyond, and keep driving those recurring revenues, which I think is in today's business world is a must.
Marvellous stuff. Martin, good to chat to you, and hopefully we can catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin. And any time you want to come and have a ride, just let me know, and you can have one of us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You all right, Chris?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. A bit busy. My goodness, how many companies are out reporting and everything this week? It's a busy old... I guess it must be the end of the financial year in March, and by the time it gets around to sort of mid-May, they're all coming out with numbers and AGM statements and goodness only knows what else. But yeah. Busy times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? And we've covered it before. Taking the headlines this morning is Thomas Cook, and I've seen it on the BBC News. And it's been hard work for like holidays and airlines and all that stuff. And I've seen them blaming Brexit and all that stuff and online. And I talked about this to my wife about a week ago. I said, look at this. I mean, look at the debt they've got, Thomas Cook and all that stuff. And because we are now, we booked a holiday, I think the end of this year. Through Thomas Cook. We've got insurance and stuff, but it's always that worry you get. In fact, I'm not worried about being stranded out there because it's a nice destination, but it's not getting there. That's the problem. So what's going on?
Yeah,
what's going on? going on there.
Yeah, no, I think you'd be all right on the holiday. I'm not worried about that. I think the biggest worry has got to be with shareholders, because ultimately Thomas Cook's a pucker company in the sense that they've got appropriate insurances and whatever in place, you know, segregation of customer assets and whatnot. Look, as you sort of intimated, Justin, you know, the big problem at Thomas Cook is that there's just a confluence of issues, you know, all of which together are frankly bad news for the share price. And it's been a shocker. And to be honest, I've completely lost any hope and faith that the shares are going to recover. You know, what's going on? Well, bottom line is we know about geopolitics hitting travel and Brexit and other shenanigans. But the trouble is, as you said, they've got a bunch of debt. And you put all of that together and that's a right old mess. Today's headlines no doubt will be the primary observation will be the £1 billion write-off. And this is quite amazing. Do you remember many, many years ago, I think it was in 2007, they bought a company called My Travel. They mm-hmm. bought it for £1.07 billion, so just over £1 billion, back in 2007. This morning, they've written off £1 billion on that. So basically, what they're saying is the My Travel deal was completely pointless, which is just an absolutely amazing thing. So they've got debt, they've got goodwill write-downs, they're running at an operating loss. It's a right old mess, and they're still saying conditions are tough. Shares have shanked down today, no surprises there. Clearly, they're looking to do some deals on their portfolio of assets. Lots of chat about various groups bidding for their airline and related business. I think that's an absolute gimme. They've got to do that. They do have the support of the banks at the moment, but frankly, as boring old shareholders after, you know, who stand bottom of the queue in terms of assets and ultimate monies coming to them, you know, this is a mess. And frankly, I've come to the conclusion, sadly, that actually I think there's probably easier things to be doing. So I think probably here you still take your Thomas Cook holiday, but probably you exit the shares and just move on to something else a bit easier.
Yeah, it's been hard work for them. Look at the chart. They're at 140 this time last year. They're now down 18 pence. And when you see that kind of grind down, you see debt problems. It reminds me of the high street, you know, retailers that are having problems and have basically gone through or close to going through. That's what it feels like to me at the moment. I mean, I don't know if it's, I mean, it's still an excellent brand, you know, but I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there is value. I mean, in the sense that the Chinese shareholder, Fosun, big sort of leisure centric Chinese conglomerate, they could buy it just with a click of their fingers. And obviously, we know that there's a bunch of burgeoning sort of travel interest from the Chinese consumer. You know, that could be useful. But the reality is, as a shareholder, you're last in line. You know, you've got to sort out the banks with the debt and everything else and any other liabilities. And then you get to the shareholders. You know, frankly, I've come to the conclusion that actually there are easier things to be doing. And this ultimately may be broken up and sold and disappears from the stock market. But I'm not convinced it's going to be at a mega premium to what we're seeing in terms of share price today. I think that's the harsh reality. So there are options. You know, we await deals on the airline, but frankly, easier things to be doing, I think, here. And an absolute shocker, you know, really is.
Yeah. And we've said it before, that chart was a plane coming into land. Yeah, and you were sitting in that plane, you'd be quite worried. In fact, it's sort of bottoming out at the moment, but it's had a bumpy day today, down 18% or down 15%. Yeah. Right, so sure. If it landed today, that you'd have felt it'd be one of those ones where you're on the plane and everyone goes, whoa, you know, really a bit scared of what that shouldn't have happened, surely. Are the tires still inflated or what? Is it a blowout at that level? But yeah, it's a scary ride. Okay, what's next, Chris?
So that's Thomas Cook. I mean, I guess another one that catches the eye today is GVC. Now, GVC, a well-known gambling, betting, poker-related brand. They obviously bought Ladbrokes Coral. They themselves, we talked about this, I think, a number of weeks ago, where the CEO and the chair dumped a bunch of stock after loving up the numbers and actually putting out some very good numbers. Suddenly, they dumped a whole load of stock, saying they needed to diversify and everything else. All okay. A bit shocking for the share price. Yeah. But time has moved on. They've put out two statements since those share sales, where basically life's been going well. Today's update, which is ahead of a capital markets day later on this afternoon, looks damn good. I mean, if it wasn't for that share dump earlier this year, GVC shares, I'm convinced, would be £7-8, you know, £1-2 higher than they are today. Numbers were good in the sense of the progress, that the Ladbrokes Coral deal was going well. They're finding more synergies. They say trading is fine, making progress. Obviously, you know, they've got integration of those brands on the sort of the conventional betting side. Clearly, they're very preeminent in online, and obviously they've got the call option of the States, where they've struck a JV to try to tap into that burgeoning market. They've also got some other benefits coming through, which they didn't anticipate a few months ago. Bottom line is, it was a very good statement. I'm really interested, intrigued though, for the Capital Markets Day later on this afternoon. You know, Capital Markets Days, they have a bit of a funny, a lot of private investors don't kind of look at them or regard them. They wait for sort of interim numbers and full year numbers and everything else. But Capital Markets Days, they are super useful. You might not get so much many updates on trading, but you get a lot more depth on the business. And as an investor, it allows you to understand it more. And even though they generally are pitched for the professional investor, you know, the enthusiastic amateur, I always encourage them to look at Capital Markets Days, because you're going to learn something from it. And obviously, as an investor, that's what you've got to do. It's all about, you know, getting information and thinking about stuff. So they've got that this afternoon. I actually think it will be quite interesting. The question I'd love to ask is getting back to those share sales and everything else. But I have to say, operationally, business looks in good nick, and they're finding synergies and making forward progress. Share looks cheap, slightly up when I last looked today, sort of kicking around the £6 level. My feeling is there is value here, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's probably worth explaining, is you know, to people who don't understand what a Capital Markets Day is, Chris. I mean, if you quickly summarise what it's all about, if you could.
So, Capital Markets obviously is just a fancy word for kind of the sort of the institutional investor zone and related, you know, financial markets. But what it does is you get a bunch of these people together. So maybe when you go to one, there's probably anywhere between 30 and 200 people there, depending on how big or popular the company is. Mm. Analysts, fund manager types, PR people, all sorts of. It's a bit like when you have a quarterly earnings or a half yearly earnings or full year earnings sort of meeting. And what the company does is, rather than talk about, you know, we made 10% more profits and whatever, they talk in a bit more depth about the divisions that they have. They talk about the strategy. And so there'll be lots of useful stuff for investors. You know, professional investors are kind of writing models and research, and they'll clip in various bits from this into that in order to give their opinion on the shares. So it's a bit of a sort of an advertorial, if you like, bit of advertising, bit of information there. Occasionally a trading update, a bit like GBC have given a small one this morning. But bottom line is, if a share price is like, if you think about it in really theoretical terms, it relates to all the information out there. It's kind of the fair value based on all the available information out there. Capital Markets Days are chucking in more information into the mix, and that's why they're interesting. Generally, the slides and everything, often the webcasts available on company corporate websites. And, you know, in the last, what is the last few days, who have done them? Renishaw's done one, GBC today. I saw Robert Walters, the recruitment company, mentioned this morning in an RNS. They've got a Capital Markets Day coming up. You know, they're all trying to sort of inform people better, both professional investors and enthusiastic amateurs. And for the latter group, this is gold dust. You know, this is the company management team giving you information which you can help decide whether your investment's in good nick or not.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. So, it's, you know, like you say, it's very good for investors. You go along, and it's all your pretty much your research, or nearly all of it, in one day. And, well, it's obviously a slight bias, I suppose, but it's lots of information, isn't it?
You know? But as always, you make your own mind up, and I say, you don't need to go. You can listen on the webcast, pace through the slides in the evening at your leisure. You know, that's the beauty of today's world. We're drowning in information. It's interpretation which is the key. And something like this, you know, if you are invested somewhere and they've got a Capital Markets Day, you should be pacing through the slides, having a think about what they're saying. Is that in line with what you thought? You know, have they told you something else new and different, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, anything else out there, Chris?
Quick final one on Burberry. Obviously, you and I have talked before about, we're both big luxury fans, clearly, and obviously...
I'm dressed head to toe in Burberry kit this morning, you know, everything from hat to socks.
That's right. I'm not surprised, just, you know, obviously, of a weekend, you know, I'm very similar. You know, often pop down to my local one just to pick up something. More seriously, Burberry is obviously a well-known name, you know, an unusual one in the sense that a proper, you know, UK-derived luxury name. More than a third of sales now in Asia, China being the preeminent market. for them now at the margin. So, you know, very good insight into the world of luxury, but also bigger stuff as well. The numbers today are amazingly dull in the sense that you look at the operating profit, the revenue, it's kind of either side of zero. And you think to yourself, crikey, you know, that's not very exciting, is it? But, you know, that's actually what they've guided towards. They're going through a bit of a transition in the sense they've got a new management team, a new designer. They're both bedding down. They've been there now a sort of 18 months or so, and they seem to be turning and changing the company, I think, from, if you like, classic UK Burberry in a strange way, through to something, they're both Italian, something which is a bit more European, a bit more kind of drawing from the classic sort of French and Italian influences on luxury, which clearly have been hugely successful over the years. So I think an interesting shift for Burberry, kind of continuing to sort of reflect some of their heritage, you know, the infamous kind of Burberry Czech sort of look, etc., but then introducing different edgier stuff as they obviously they appeal to a different consumer set around the world. So I think it seems to be on track. The shares have done all right, and the company's cash generative. They announced a new buyback today. So this is a sort of a I believe in the designer sort of play. My observation is that's obviously a hard one for the ordinary investor to work out. It's hard for me to work out, frankly. But my observation is they do seem to be making some all right steps. The share price has been okay. You'll notice the big resistance at 20 quid. It hit the 20 quid level a couple of weeks back and has kind of fallen off that with shabbier markets and everything else. The shares were down a little bit today when I last looked. But it seems to me as if Burberry is in sort of that turn and change moment. And if you're a believer in things like the Chinese consumer just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, these big branded stuff that they can't replicate, that has heritage and appeal and everything else, it's a good area. So my feeling is no need to rush into Burberry stock today if you don't own it. My feeling is that's more sort of at your 16, 17 quid level. Could well get there in a bit of trade angst or everything else in markets. And that 20 quid level is a big resistance point. So at the very least, I think if you're looking at it or thinking about it, pop down to the shops, of course, and have a look at their window gaze or whatever. Maybe you're rich and go and spend some money. But I think 16, 17 quid is a more interesting in point for this one. Good brand, though. And a sensible company.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly the same thing. Since the start of this year, it's traded in a range pretty much between 20 and 16. And right now, it's right in the middle of that. So that's it's hard to call. It could go up or down from there. So just to be on the safe side, you know, support is at 16, 17, and resistance at 20. So yeah, wait, as you said, on the chart anyway. Marvellous stuff. Right? Yeah, and in the meantime, go to one of the shops and see how it's operating. Try on all the kits and say, I could be an investor. You never know. Right. So there we go. Lovely. Chris, thanks for that, and we'll catch up next week, fella.
Sounds a plan. See you then.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Nuformix, NFX. At four, it's 1PM Group. By the way, Nuformix again, actually, Dr. Dan came on yesterday, and I think it's all going well for them. But NFX, they're up 3.85%. 1PM, non-moving today, but OPM sticker there. At three, I'm on three or four. Seven Digital non-mover. At two, Integument, ticker that is Skin, of course, down 2%. U Group, up 80% today. That's U Group there. Number one is Block Energy, down 5.36% to 12.35 pence. But they're placing for 12 million. Whenever you get a big raise like that, it's heavily supported. It's, you know, you've got to pay attention to the company. It's a good sign. I know the share price may dip a little bit, and it's a bit dilutive, the market cap will increase, but institutional support here is very good. Hopefully we'll get Paul on the podcast very soon. That's the most followed company, Block Energy, BLOE. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Tullow Energy. Public Procurement and Asset Disposal Board decision. At four, Lloyds Banking Group, intention to pay quarterly dividends. Oh. At four, Extract Resources, Zambia Copper Exploration Update. At two, Horizonte Minerals, quarterly report. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Europa Metals, commencement of drilling at the Toral project, EUZ, of course. That's it for the podcast. Don't forget, if you use the Vox Markets app and you get value from it, please give us a review if you could at your App Store, Apple or Android. Thank you. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.